Morning. Today we'll be continuing our study through Ephesians. The focus passage this morning will be Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. And while we get there, I'll open this message up with prayer. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, to be gathered in your holy and glorious name. We pray that we will just bow our hearts, our minds, our entire beings to you this morning. We fall, Father God, humbly under the authority of your word. We pray that you would just enlighten us completely, Father. Help us to just grow in the grace and the knowledge, Father. Help us to just listen and to heed and digest everything that you have for us this morning, Lord. We pray that you will just edify this body. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Amen. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of God. Here in Ephesians, we've been learning so far. We've learned in Ephesians, the first six verses, we learn of some essentials that Paul has taught us. In verses 1 through 6, Paul taught us the essentials that unite us as Christians, things that are common to us. He taught us about a common walk, that we should all have a common walk, a walk that is worthy according to the calling that we have been given. So that is a common walk. And then he gave us a common goal, that we would preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So we have a common goal, and then he gave us a sevenfold elements of Christian unity, the ones that we've been discussing now for the last five or six weeks or so. So we have these commonalities that unite us that Paul has taught us over the last 4 or 5, 6 weeks at least. So now, in verse 7, Paul begins to pivot. Because if you go back and you read verses 1 through 6, it's all been about unity, about the unity of the body, the unity of the church, all these elements that unite us as the church, the body of Christ. But here in verse 7, he says something a little bit different, because now, if you take a look at this verse, he begins to pivot. Because when we look at this one word, this conjunction, but, the word but, it's given in an adversative kind of way. In other words, as if Paul could really say here, after he has told us everything about unity in verses 1 through 6, he could have said, in spite of all that, in spite of all that, to each one of us, grace has been given. So yes, Paul could have said, I have spoken to you about all these things, about unity, all these things that we have in common. On the other hand, to each one of us. So Paul begins to pivot. And he brings us from what is common to all of us to what is unique and different about all of us. So yes, we have this commonality, but we also have this diversity, a difference here. And that is the point that Paul is going to make in these next few verses. Yes, we are united as a body of Christ, but we are also very, very diverse as a body of Christ. So Paul, as we study this one verse here, Paul is not, he's not attempting to disrupt or diminish or dissolve unity. He's not trying to take unity out of the table. No, Paul is not doing that. He's very much leaving unity right there where it belongs, right there in the body. Unity belongs. But Paul's teaching here, he wants to make sure that we understand that in our unity, we have now become, merged into a solid, undistinguishable, monolithic form of sameness. In other words, Paul's trying to say, you're not the same. You have unity, however, you have great diversity. Great diversity. You're not the same. You have great variety. You have great variation. You have great distinctiveness. You have great diversity within this one body of Christ. Great diversity. Great diversity. So we have unity in the body with diversity in the body. We are one, but within this one, we are many. Just like the body, we have one body, but within our body, we have many, many different elements, many constituents. And Paul is saying the same thing. You have one body that has unity, but within this one body, you have great diversity. Many members who are called to do very different things for the body. So this is a point that Paul is now making. Remember that you must maintain the unity, preserve the unity, but understand too that you are greatly diverse, very, very diverse. So when you look at these two words here, unity and diversity, two great principles. Now, when Paul talks about these in the context of church, unity and diversity, he's not saying that these two are enemies one of the other. No, Paul is saying that unity and diversity right here in the context of church are like two very good neighbors, two precious neighbors, two neighbors that complement each other, the best of friends, twins, as some people say, unity and diversity. So Paul is not making an argument for saying that unity now doesn't matter completely. No, he's saying that unity is very important. It's essential. But Paul is now just saying, he's introducing this new idea, this understanding that we should have, that we're all different, that we're all diverse, that we're exceedingly diverse. So when you look at unity and diversity, well, how can you make sure that diversity doesn't overcome or dissolve our unity? What is it that keeps diversity by overwhelming our unity? Because Paul in verse 7 gives us the answer. And he said, this is the answer, that the body has one head and that one head is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who gives us our unity, and it is Jesus Christ who gives us our diversity. It is him. He is a controlling point that keeps it all together. He makes sure that diversity does not overcome the other. And he makes sure that unity doesn't absorb diversity so that everything becomes the same. That would be uniformity. We want unity, but we don't want uniformity so that everything in the church is exactly the same. Paul says we're not the same. Unique, different personalities, different backgrounds, different gifts. And that is a point that Paul is making this morning. Therefore, Christ is the controlling principle. But here this morning, as we look at verse 7, I would like to make 2 points. And of course, I'll have some sub-points, but I would like to make 2 points when we look here at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. 2 points to make this morning. Here's the first point. The first point is this. Have you believed the gospel of peace? Have you believed the gospel of peace? Do you believe it? And this is very important. It's not just a question that you throw out there loosely. No, it's very important, especially when you look at verse 7. Have you believed the gospel of grace? It is the question that we need to ask. Why? Because when you look at this phrase, this one phrase makes all the difference. But to each one of us, to each one of us. And here's the point. It refers specifically to those who have been saved by grace through faith. He belongs to those. This gospel, this initial outpouring of grace, has everything to do with that each one of us who have been saved by the gospel of grace through faith. Because if you have not been saved by this gospel of grace through faith, then all these gifts that Paul is talking about when he says, but to each one of us was given according grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Well, that doesn't apply unless the first outpouring of grace came upon you, that you received salvation by grace through faith. And we see that in in chapter 2, verse 9, or verse 8, where it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God, and it came to you and to me by grace through faith. So the whole point is that Paul is trying to make is, if you indeed receive the gospel of grace, then you indeed are receiving gifts from Christ. But only if you receive this gospel. So it becomes exceedingly important for the church. It's important for us. Verse 7 otherwise doesn't apply. If you say, well, no, I don't think so. I don't think I've received the gospel of salvation. I don't think I've been saved by grace through faith. Well, then verse 7 kind of doesn't apply. It doesn't apply because it applies to those. To those what? Who have the one God and one Father. To those who are saved by grace through faith. To those, Paul says, are the recipients of Christ's gifts to those. So have you received or have you believed the gospel of grace? to each one of those, because it is to the each one of us, the each one of us that Paul is referring to here, where he says, but to each one of us, okay, those persons, those people, the each one there, it pertains to those who have been rescued from God's coming judgment and wrath. It pertains to those who have been rescued by God's undeserved favor, grace, charis, when we get charisma. It pertains to those who have been rescued through their faith in Christ, who died on the cross for them as their substitutionary atonement. It belongs to those. It belongs to those people only. Can you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13? And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with his seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So you also were included in Christ. When? When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. It was then that you believed, and then you were marked by him, by Christ, with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Only then. Only then. So Paul, he's making the argument here, okay? Because when we look at 7, we need to understand that we need to be saved. In order to what? In order to get anything from Christ, we need to be in Christ. If we are in Christ, then we become brothers and sisters, children of God our Father. Then we get his blessings, his gifts. We get the outpouring. Otherwise, we get nothing. We get nothing. So the first big point here is, have you believed the gospel of grace? You have to believe the gospel of grace. We must. Can you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2? I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Unless you believe the gospel that Paul preached. Unless. So very important, have you believed the gospel of grace? That is the first point, and it's a short point. It's just one question, but it's very important. It's very important that we get that we understand that. God's gifts, the gifts that we get from Christ, only pertain to those who are his brothers and sisters. That is it. The children of God. But then we move to the second point here. And the second point is this. If you have received God's grace, if you have received God's grace, then the ascended Christ has given you a gift for service. He has given you a gift. Given you a gift. Paul says what? To each one of us. There is not one brother, there's not one sister, there's no one gathered here that if you call yourself a Christian and you say to yourself, I have been saved. I've been saved by grace through faith. I know that. I believe that. I've heard the message of truth. I received it. I laid hold of it, and it laid hold of me. So if you can claim all that and you say, yes, I am a child of God. He is my Father. He is our Father. Then you should know this, that he has given you a gift or gifts. Everyone receives spiritual gifts. No one is overlooked. No one is bypassed. When it comes to the children of God, everyone receives a spiritual gift for the service of God. Everyone receives a gift. So when Paul says here, but to each one of us, grace was given. Yes, that is the truth. Absolutely. Each Christian, each believer who is in Christ received a spiritual gift. When he or she was born again. Everyone. Why? So we can be in service for God and for the body of Christ. Every one of us. So Jesus, when it says there in the next verse, when it says, therefore, in verse 8, it says in Ephesians 4, verse 8, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it says, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, here's my point, that Christ has given us gifts to every single one of us. Every single one of us. And I want to discuss three sub-points really fast, okay? Three sub-points that have to do with the first point, the second point. The second point was, if you have received God's saving grace, then the ascended Christ has given you a gift for service. So the first sub-point under that is this. Each believer has indeed been given a spiritual gift. Each believer. And here's a point. At Corinth, when Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, when you read the church, when you get to the chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul begins to talk about spiritual gifts. Why is he doing this? Because he understands that there's trouble in the Corinthian church. And the trouble has to do with spiritual gifts. Because some people are claiming that we have gifts, and they're saying that others do not. So they're lording over their gifts and claiming that, well, others aren't really that important because they're not really getting the gifts that we're getting. So Paul understands there's an issue, there's in-house fighting, there's quarreling going on, and it has to do with spiritual gifts. But Paul, in chapter 12, can you go to chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1? Because it's really important how he opens up that verse, that first statement. Now here's Paul, again, addressing the issues that the Corinthian church is having. He says this, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be in the dark about this. I want you to be aware." And here's a point that questioned all of us here. Are you ignorant about the spiritual gifts? Are you aware that God has given you a spiritual gift or maybe gifts? Do you know that? Because they were misunderstanding this whole concept in the Corinthian church. And Paul says, I don't want you, church, to be ignorant. And that applies to every church. Every church. Every member should not be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know, there's a Barna. Barna is a Christian firm that does Christian surveys. And they did a survey in the past about spiritual gifts. And they surveyed many churches, and they found this out, that among the churches, 69% of members of a church, they knew something about spiritual gifts. They knew something. Of all of the people surveyed, of all the churches surveyed, 69% knew something about spiritual gifts. But among those 69%, not one of them could tell you what their spiritual gift was. They couldn't tell you what their gift was. I don't know. So yes, we've heard about spiritual gifts, but I have no clue what my gift is. None. And here Paul is saying that I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. We should not be ignorant about spiritual gifts. We should know. Paul says to each one of us, one was given at least one gift was given. By whom? From Christ. He determines the measure of his gift. 2, 3, 4, 1. But that is apportioned by Christ. And in Corinthians, it says that the Holy Spirit apportions, allots what we get. But this is a decision that is made by the Lord. But he gives to all. So we should all know. In other words, we shouldn't be ignorant. We should know, well, if I'm a believer and I'm born again, I should know that God has given me some kind of gift, some kind of spiritual gift. Not a talent, mind you, but a spiritual gift. Vastly different things. Vastly different. So important that we know this, that Christ has given every one of us a gift. And here, gifts what? Gifts to be used for the unifying and the edifying of the body of Christ. So when we look at the New Testament, we look at Paul's letter to the Romans, we look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and then we even look at Peter. Peter wrote in his letter as well. And they all, Peter and Paul, they both, in all their letters, in these four chapters that I'm going to go through real fast, in these four chapters, both Peter and Paul, they say the same thing. They say this, both emphasize that every believer has within him at least one spiritual gift. Everyone. No one was left without a gift. And here Paul says, don't be in the dark about that. Don't be ignorant. We should not. We should not. Can you go to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12, verse 7. We'll start there. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 7. Now to each one, again, notice here the pattern. It's always to each one. It's never to just some. There's some denominations, there's some religions today that think that only a certain elite get gifts and the others do not. You know, the clergy gets gifts, but the laity, the common people, they don't get gifts. No. No, Christianity, the New Testament, the Bible teaches totally different, especially New Testament. It teaches that the New Testament church, every believer gets a gift. It says here, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, what? For the common good. For the common good of the church, everyone gets at least one gift by the Holy Spirit. For the common good. Everyone. And we shouldn't lose track of that we all get. In 8 it says, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. So here we talk about the Spirit, but now we move to Jesus. Go to verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between the spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of tongues. And on it goes, and on it goes, and I'll go there later. But here's my point. It's to each one. It's always to each one. Never to just some, but to each one. Can you go to 1 Corinthians, please? No, let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 and 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Here's Paul again. He says, we have different gifts. Everybody has different gifts. You don't get to pick your gift. There's not a list of gifts where you go through the New Testament and you look at all the gifts that are spelled out by Peter and Paul and you say to yourself, well, you know what? I want that one. This is the one I want. I claim this one for myself. No. The gifts are allotted, are apportioned to you by Christ. You get what he gives you because he knows that is what you need. That is what the body needs. It is what Christ gives you. We don't get to do our choosing and our picking. We don't do that. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. In other words, don't get carried away with your gift. Use it accordingly. Don't overextend yourself. There's a limit to that gift. And in verse 7 it says, if it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now can you go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And then when you go back to Ephesians 4 verse 7, it says this, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Well, what's the point after saying all this? We should know. Again, Paul says, we should not be ignorant about this. We should not be in the dark. We should not think that to some, God gave a gift, and to others, he did not. No. To every member of the body, to every believer, to every saint, God has given him or her a gift or gifts. But everyone has a gift. Everyone. A person, and here's the thing, spiritual gifts and talents are not the same. They're not the same. A person can sing very nicely, very well. Another cannot. That is a talent. That is not really a spiritual gift. Understand that. There's differences. A person, okay, we know this. A person is born with God-given natural talents. We know that. Possibly in music, in art, in athletics, and so forth. On it goes. But we know that when it comes to natural talents, talents that people are born with, not every man, not every woman is created equal. Some are just born more intelligent, more smarter, more artistic, faster, stronger, more brilliant, you name it. Some are just born with more talents than others. So in that regard, people are born differently. But when it comes to spiritual birth, everyone is born with spiritual gifts. Everyone. They might not be the same physically in their physical birth, but in our spiritual birth, oh, God makes sure that every believer gets a gift that he needs. To what? For the common good of the church. To service him. To serve him. Everyone. Very different. Very different. So have you received God's gracious gift of salvation, as I said earlier? Have you received God's gracious gift of salvation? Well, then you should know that you also received his gracious spiritual gift, which we are to use for what? For his glory. For his glory. So we should not allow anyone, not even yourself, don't allow anyone, not even yourself, to convince you that you have not received a spiritual gift. Because this is what was happening in Corinth. Some say they received a gift and said, well, the others have not. Therefore, we're kind of like better than this group right here. No, that is not the case. We should never think or believe or become convinced that God just overlooked you. He bypassed you. He just ignored you and moved on to different people and gave some gifts, and to some he did not. No. No, no, no. We should not be ignorant about that. Everyone in the church is gifted. Everyone. You know, I was reading an article about, many of us today, when we're done with service, we're going to go home and we're going to watch football. Many of us like watching football. Well, there was an interview that was done with a college football coach after the game, and all the people are there, all the players are there, and a reporter goes to the football coach, and he tells the football coach, because he was elated with the game, and he said, Coach, what has college football done with the national physical fitness picture throughout the United States? What has football done for physical fitness throughout the United States? And the coach looked at the reporter, and without missing a beat, the coach said this: nothing. He says, college football has done absolutely nothing for the physical fitness picture in the United States. It's done nothing. And the reporter was startled. He says, what do you mean, coach? He says, well, the way I see it, the coach says, I look at the field, and I see 22 players out there who are tired and who have played all day long. They have done all the work, and then I look out here, and I see 40,000 people who have done absolutely nothing. I said, these people are tired, and these people are the ones who should be out there exercising. And he said, that's the way, a pastor said, that's the way it is in church. When you have a few who have spiritual gifts, and they're doing all the work, and all the other people are just sitting around watching a few doing the work, not realizing that, hey, you too have been given gifts to serve the body, for the common good of the body. No one has been given a gift and then told, you just sit there and do nothing now. Your job in the body of Christ is just to have a seat and relax and kick back and rest. No. No. Everyone was given a gift for the common good of the church, to serve Christ, to serve God our Father. Everyone. So if we're thinking, you know what, that's not my job, that's not my ministry, that's not what I'm supposed to do, well then find what you're supposed to do, because Christ has given you a gift according to the measure of his grace. He has given you something. And conversely, we also have the issue in churches where we have a select few who do all the work, but those select few do think that they've been given all the gifts, and they don't allow anyone else to do any work. You just sit there, we do the work. Because that's the same issue they were experiencing at the Corinth church. A select few did everything because they were the ones that received all the gifts of God. And so they allowed no one else to be involved in any kind of ministry. So it kind of works both ways. In one church, a few do all the work because the others don't want to do anything. And then in another church, a few do all the work, and those around who also want to work do nothing because no one's allowing them to work. People, even within the church, overlook the fact, the reality, that everyone in church has been given a gift to serve the common good, to work for God, every single one. That's the whole thing behind this purpose of unity and diversity. To many has been given different gifts, a variety of gifts, a diversity of gifts. Why? For the common good of the one body of Christ, to do something within the church. Spiritually gifted. I mean, if you're a believer here, if you're a Christian, you should know that you have been gifted by God our Father, by Christ, by the Holy Spirit. God has given you a gift or gifts. But the point is, are you using it? Do you even know what it is? Are you ignorant about it? Do you even care? Remember Paul's instruction to Timothy, because Timothy was gifted. He received the gift of preaching and teaching. And Paul told Timothy, do not neglect, Timothy, the gift that was given to you. Do not do that, Timothy. Do not. Don't neglect it. To some has been given certain gifts, and we are neglecting the gift that God has given us. Neglecting it? No. You know what? I'm fine. No, you can't be a Christian and just have that attitude, I'm fine. No, no. Because God has done this. When we read earlier, can you go back to 1 Peter, please? Verses 4, 10 to 11. Verse 11, specifically. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Here's so that in all things, God may be praised. Praised through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory, the power forever and ever. Here's the point that Peter indicated earlier. This is one statement that he says. He says that we should be good stewards of the grace that God has given us. Good stewards. Actually, go to 1 Peter 10, please. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Okay, it says, each one should use whatever gift. And note that, okay, each one, each believer, that's you and me. Okay, Peter, in a sense, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me. And this letter here applies to New Life Church, and Peter's telling us this. He says, each one of you, me included, you included, he says, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Here's the key thing, the ticket there. Faithfully administering God's grace. Being a good steward of the gift that God has given you. Are we being good stewards? Again, because if we have no idea what our gift is, and we never bothered trying to find out what our gift is, then you can probably assume that you don't know. You're not being a good steward of what God has already given you. Because he has already given you a gift. Already. Are we faithfully administering what God has given to us? Faithfully. So the first point there was each believer has been given a spiritual gift. Each believer. In Ephesians, it says grace given according to the measure of Christ. In Romans, it says faith given according to the measure allotted by God. In Romans, it says and different gifts according to the grace given. Everything given. Given, given, given. To you, to me, to the church, to every member, given. Christ has not been stingy about his gifts, no. The Bible says that he's given us all these things according to the full measure. To the full measure of his grace he has bestowed upon you. He has allotted these gifts to you. He has given these things to you. In fact, the Bible says he's lavished you with grace. As much as he could give, he has given. And when it comes to gifts, he gives you exactly what you need for service. Exactly what you need. He has not left you empty-handed. Unequipped. Or poorly equipped. No, he has given you exactly what you need. Exactly what you need. So the first point there was, each believer has been given a spiritual gift. And the next point is this, each believer is expected to use his gift. So you're being given a gift, and then you are expected to use the gift. You know, there's a parable in Matthew. And we've all heard the Matthew when it belongs to a master. A master has three servants. And to the three servants, he gives talents because he's going off on a trip. So for his the first servant, he gives him five talents. The talents here is his money. So the first, he gives him five talents. To the second, he gives two talents. And to the third, he gives one talent. Well, we know what happened. As the story goes, the servant given five talents, he doubles his talents. So when the master comes back, he shows him what he did. He doubled what he had. To the second person who was given two talents, he also doubled what he had. They both did good. They were both very enterprising. They were using what was given to them rightfully. But to the third one, he took his one talent, his money, and instead of using it, even trying to get interest in it, he did nothing with it, absolutely nothing. In fact, he buried his talent. So when the master came back, the master chastises him. He calls me, "You wicked, lazy servant." And he cast him out. Now here's the point. Christ is not going to cast you out of the church if you are a saint. No. However, you can be just like that wicked, lazy servant and take the gift that Christ has given you, the Master, the Lord, the Savior, the Redeemer, the King that we sang about earlier. He can give you the one gift, and you will take that gift and do nothing with it your entire time you're on earth, never bothering to figure out, what is my gift? What is my gift? And when I get the gift, am I going to use it? Because you're required to use it. That's why he gives it to you, to use it. To use the gift, not to bury it, but to use it. So when we get these gifts properly, this is what happens when we get the gifts. When we get the gifts and we use the gifts properly, that's when the church is built up in faith and in hope and in love. You build up the church by using your gifts. That's what makes, you know, when we talk about walking in a manner that is worthy of our calling. Well, part of that walk includes using your gifts. You can't walk, you can't call your walk a worthy walk if you never ever use any gifts that God has given you. How is that a worthy walk? Well, you know what? I was given a gift and I buried it. But I had a good walk. I walked with the Spirit. I walked with the Holy Spirit, never using the gift that the Holy Spirit gave me. I just walked with Him humbly. No. The worthy walk includes very much this. Not being ignorant of your gifts, but taking hold of your gifts, knowing what it is, and then using it within the context of church. Very important. Very important. You know, it's also true that in the church setting, in the context of the church setting, we have some people who are supported on a full-time basis. Let's say pastors, for instance. We know that they are supported on a full-time basis. So they have maybe different gifts, more gifts than others. We know that. We know that some are just gifted more than others, but that's okay. That's okay if one person has three or four or five and one has only one. The point is, if God gives you one, that is a privilege. Because you deserve nothing. It's all what? It's all grace. So I don't care if God gives someone five gifts. That's good. God bless that person, whoever he or she might be. But if God gives me one, the Redeemer, the Creator, the Maker, gave me one gift to me. He looked at me and says, here, my son, my daughter, this is your gift to serve me, to serve the body. Well, then we have this privilege, a wonderful God-given privilege to use our gift for his glory, just like Peter said, for his glory. Use the gift. I couldn't care less who has what gifts, but the point is, if I have my gift, I want to use it. I want to use it effectively for ministry. I want to use it. And you should too. That's the whole point Paul is making. Various gifts, a diverse of gifts, a variety. Everyone's is different. But use our gifts. Here's the thing about ministry. We know that some are in full-time ministry, but not all of us. Not all of us here are in full-time ministry. But some are. But here's the point. Every Christian is still in the ministry in the sense that every Christian has a spiritual gift, and he or she will give an account for how he or she has used his gift for his or her ministry. You know this worthy walk, this ministry, wherever it might be? You're given a gift, and we will be held accountable. Did you use it? What did you do with it? Were you like that lazy servant who just buried it and said, well, I don't really need my gift because these people over here, they have plenty of gifts. I can just sit in the pews, and that's my job, to come to church every Sunday and just listen. No, don't do that. Don't rob God of what he's given you. Don't do that. But take what he has given us and use it. If he has given you a gift, he meant for you to use it. And you might ask, well, how? How do I even know what my gifts are? How do I know? Because for the longest time, I did that. For the longest time, I walked around thinking, well, what is my gift? What am I going to do? How do I do it? How do I find out? Who's going to tell me what my gift is? Well, it begins, at some point, you got to ask. Who do you ask? Well, you take it to the Lord in prayer firstly. Who gives you the gift? The Holy Spirit. You can go to the Lord in prayer. He hears. If he knows, he knows he's giving you a gift, well then ask. Ask. He will not keep him from you. Ask. Ask in prayer. Ask by faith. Discernment. Ask for discernment. What is it that attracts you here in church? What is it you have a genuine desire, a genuine interest to do? Because oftentimes that is what God is drawing you to. If you desire to do something, it interests you, it fascinates you. I want to do that. It could be that is your gift, but you have to pursue it. You want to do it. Some of the spiritual leaders. Sometimes faithful mentors that you have, sometimes they can see something in you and they think, you know what? I think God is calling you to this particular ministry for this service. I think God is giving you this gift because they just see something in you. But it's important to do what? To be a part of the body of the church. We will never know this. You will never know what your gift is if we're never even in church. You know, I don't go to church once in a long while. Well, how will you know what your gift is if you're not even involved in the body of Christ? You go to the church once in a long while. Knowing what your gift is has everything to do with you being an active member of the body of Christ. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. But if we don't do that, we'll never know. You can pray. There's no formula in the Bible that tells you this is how you're going to find out. No. There's no secret to finding out what your gift is. Prayer, meditation, looking at your heart. What attracts you in the church? What is your desire? What interests you? What do others say about you? When you're involved in a local body, what is it that you want to do? You should want to do something. Something should attract you. Something. And the gifts you get, these gifts that God gives us, they're not toys that we play with. It's not a hobby that we just occupy with. No. They are mighty tools designed to build with. Mighty tools given to you by God to build up, to edify. Very important gifts that he gives you. Not something you tinker around with. No. That's where we go back to Paul when he told the Corinthian church, don't be ignorant. Maybe some of us have been ignorant. Maybe some of us didn't care. You know what? I don't care. Well, you should care. That's Paul's point here, is that to each one, Christ has given you a gift. You can't say, I don't care. You should care. It is very important for us to care, for us to be involved, for us to learn what our gifts are and to use them. That was an issue in Corinthians. It shouldn't be an issue here. We should want to do that. So each believer, starting with each believer, has been given a spiritual gift, and then each believer is expected to use his gift. And the third one is each believer must understand that using his gifts to serve Christ is an undeserved privilege. It is an absolute privilege. You look at verse 7, chapter 4 in Ephesians, verse 7. You see three words there. You see grace, given, and gift. And they repeat themselves. Grace, given, and gift. Our spiritual gifts were given to us by grace. None of us can boast. None of us. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7? Again, remember the context, problems in Corinth about gifts. He says, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? In other words, we didn't just claim these gifts and make it our gifts. No, no. Paul says, you receive your gifts. Because God gave you a gift, don't boast about it. Don't think it was of your own doing. Don't think you're more superior to others because you appear to be gifted and these don't. And Paul says, no. Don't let that be your attitude. Understand this, that whatever you have, it was given to you by grace. It was grace, it was given, it was a gift. Don't boast. Don't boast. If you have gifts, more than one, maybe two or three, don't boast. Why? It was given to you by Christ. Not so you could boast. And if you have one, be thankful that the Lord, our Redeemer, has given you a gift. Be thankful. Because it's a wonderful privilege, having been gifted by Christ. Here's the thing. When we get gifts, we don't grumble, don't complain. We were former rebels, remember that? We can go back to Ephesians chapter 2. It tells us what we were before Christ, what we were before we were saved. But now Christ takes those rebellious people, those sinful people who are spiritually dead, and he makes them alive, and he raises them up with Christ. And when he raises them up with Christ, God gives them gifts. He gives them gifts. We ought not to grumble and complain, but to be thankful that God has gifted every person in the church, every person, from being a former rebel to being a gifted saint. And Paul says, you don't boast about that. It has been given to you. So don't be tempted to quit serving the Lord. Don't because someone hurt your feelings. You know what, I'm just not going to work no more in the church. No. No, it's easy to just sit around because someone hurt you or someone said things about you. No, remember that this gift God gives you to work for him, to serve him, for the common good of the body, it's a gift from him, and he knows what you're going through. No, he says, take your gift and use it, even though others may try to marginalize you. He says, don't be discouraged. Use your gift. Use your gift because Christ gave it to you for that very reason. Not so that you can be discouraged and say, you know what, I think I'm just going to sit out. I think I'm just going to quit. No, don't do that. Don't be a quitter. No. Understand that Christ has gifted you for a purpose, for a divine purpose. Remember what Peter says, for the glory of God. Keep serving him, understanding that you have been gifted. You know, under the old covenant, when we go back to the Old Testament, we learn this in the Old Testament. We learn that in the Old Testament, God gifted only certain people. Normally, you look at prophets, priests, and kings, maybe a few others. They were gifted, but not all the people. Most of the Israelites were not gifted. Not these kind of spiritual gifts I'm speaking about. Some were, most were not. Very few receive that gift. But under the old covenant, when those weren't gifted, because when I read the Old Testament, Moses, there was a time when Moses, when Joshua complained to Moses, because Moses was in the tent of the meeting, and there he had 70 elders with him. And God told Moses that I'm going to take up your spirit, Moses, and I'm going to spread it to the elders. And God did just that. He took from God, from Moses' spirit, because everybody else wasn't gifted like Moses. So he took of the spirit of Moses and he gave to the 70 elders. And they began to prophesy. But at the time when everybody was gathered at the tent of meeting, two of those elders were not there at the tent. They were out in the camp. And out at the camp where they were at, they began to prophesy. And then someone heard these two men out in the camp prophesying, because God too had given them the spirit that came from Moses. And someone came running to Moses and complained that there's two men out there in the camp that are prophesying. And Joshua became incensed. And Joshua told Moses, "Moses, master, we must stop them from doing that." And Moses looked at Joshua, and he chastised Joshua, and he said this, "Oh, that all the people of God would receive the Spirit." That all the people of God would receive the Spirit. Well, when Christ died, when Christ arose, when Christ ascended, there was a new dawn for the people of God. Because at that point, all the people of God received the Spirit. Wasn't the case in the Old Covenant, but that's a case in the New Covenant. Everyone receives the Spirit of God. Everyone receives the gifts of God. Everyone receives the blessings of God. And then we take those and we do something, particularly with the gifts that He has given us. Because it is a new period, a new dawn, a new age. This is what Moses looked forward to, for that day when everyone would receive the Spirit. That is what Joel prophesied, that there will come a day, a time, when young men would dream dreams and old men would have visions, that the Spirit of God will be poured out on many. And this is what happened in Pentecost. That was the beginning of the Spirit being outpoured on the new body of believers. And it continues to this day when the Holy Spirit continues to be outpoured, when He continues to give us gifts. Why? So that we could serve Him. A new period has come. And we shouldn't be like the old Israelites who never received nothing. You should know that in this dawn, in this period, you have received something from God. You have received a gift. And we should actively be using the gifts. And if you don't know what that gift is, pray. Ask. Ask. And use the gift that God has given you, that He has equipped you with. But times have changed. And here's the thing, I'll leave us all with this final thought as I close. Paul told the Corinthians, he told them this, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. He said those words. He just urged them. I urge you to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. But that's a message that applies even to us. Earnestly, you and me, we need to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts of God. Do we have that earnestness in us that we truly want to know the gift of God? Do you know what God has given you? Do you know what your gift is? Are you using your gift because you're required to use your gift? Paul said, be earnest about it. Be earnest about it. Be earnest. And then I'll close with what Peter said already. He says, once you know what your gift is, are you being a good steward, a faithful administrator of the gift that God has given you? Are we? Because we have to. We must. We have no, this isn't a yes or no. It's we must. If God has given you a gift, and He has given you a gift, every believer has a gift, then we must use our gifts. All of us. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift to each one of us. We're all gifted. We should all strive earnestly to know what that gift is if we don't know, and then begin to use the gift. And perhaps you know what your gift is and you haven't used it in a long time, and that gift is pretty rusty. maybe you want to begin to use it again because it is God's gift to you to be used regularly for our common good, for the body, to glorify him. Amen? In closing prayer. Father, we just praise you, Lord. We thank you for this word, Father. We just pray that you will put it in our